You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the Gospel of John today. We've gotten to about chapter 7, and we'll back up here to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles, they had been out in the wilderness celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for, this is the eighth day, the last day of the feast. And Jesus stands up and he shouts out, or cries, it says, he stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is that the prophet.'" If they were waiting for the prophet, the Christ, the Messiah. "This, of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" Some of them did know what was written. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" And the officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." Because of the, we didn't bring him. We couldn't take him. He should have heard the things that he was saying. No one ever talked like this before. No one ever spoke like this man. How could we take him? And the Pharisees answered and said, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus said to them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth?" And they answered and said to him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house. That's what happened when the feast was over. Everyone went to their own house. Apparently out of Galilee no prophet arises. So they understood that Jesus was coming out of Galilee. But they should have known that he came out of Nazareth and that he was born at Bethlehem. If they had cared to search it out, they would have found it out. But it seems that they only wanted to condemn the man. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So he's just kind of doodling in the, you know, on the ground with his finger. And he doesn't like they're not even there. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now there's a lot wrong with this little tribunal that's going on here. You know, between Jesus, the Pharisees that brought him, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the woman. You know, how can a woman commit adultery all by herself? You know, what's wrong with this picture? Where's the man? Is the man excused? So a woman can't commit adultery all by herself. So this is kind of like a kangaroo court. I guess that's what they would term it. The deck was, you know, pretty much stacked against this woman. So what are they going to do? He can't condemn her. There's no trial. Where's the man? Where are the witnesses? They want him to condemn her unlawfully. So he says, so. He doesn't answer them. He doesn't answer their question. He doesn't tell them what to do about their proposed question, their hypothetical situation, bringing this poor woman and dropping her on the ground there before him. So he says to them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. He turns the onus back onto them. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, a lot of people like to speculate about what Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate. You know, perhaps one day I'll ask him, but he didn't write it in the book here for us. So, anyway, verse 9, chapter 8. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out, one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Yes, what a picture that would have been. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What did Jesus do here? Well, he preaches the gospel to her. What is the gospel that Jesus taught us? The gospel that Jesus taught us is repent, for the kingdom is at hand. When he said go and sin no more, that's what he's saying to her. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. His instructions are for her to go and repent and sin no more. Because that's what repentance is all about. It's about sinning no more. It may be difficult. It may be a challenge for us to go and sin no more. But we are called overcomers. Not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Because we have something to overcome. We get over it. Whatever the reason, whatever excuses we have for engaging and continuing in our sin, we get over it. We overcome it. We are overcomers. We repent. And we continue in that process of repentance until we learn obedience. This is not about easy believism. The gospel is not about that. It's not about go and sin all you want. Just make sure you come back and confess your sins again so that they can be absolved, so that Christ can be crucified again. No, he was crucified once for all. Eating a wafer and drinking a little bit of taking out of a little plastic cup ain't going to help you. Going down the aisle over and over, continually going to confession to have your sins heard by a man so that they can be absolved again while you already have a reservation to go out and sin again. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more. See, this woman who was caught in adultery is a picture of us. She's the one who got preached to. We don't know where the other party of the adultery was. Not even mentioned. There was a man. You can't commit adultery alone. Otherwise, there's no act. Caught in the very act, they said. Well, where was the man? But the important thing is that he preached the gospel to her. He told her to repent, to go and sin no more. That's what repentance means. It means to go and sin no more. Whatever it takes, you got to stop. You got to overcome. You got to crucify the deeds of the flesh and sin no more. So hopefully that woman took his word and she left off her adultery, however that came about, and she did not do that anymore. So Jesus spake to them, unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And there it is. Go and sin no more. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. They're taking his words out of context and turning them back on him. But Jesus answered, said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Now, you don't know where I'm from. You don't know where I'm going. You can't tell. He says, you judge after the flesh. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now, how did the Father bear witness of him? How did that happen? Well, at the Jordan River baptism, the Father spoke, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. How else did the Father bear witness of the Son? By the miracles, by the healing, by the signs and the wonders that followed him, the Father bears witness. So it says that we bear witness, two witnesses, the Father and me. Then they said to him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. For if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. These words Jesus spake in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then Jesus said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believed not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He's telling them that they have a choice. If ye believe not that I am. And of course, the Authorized King James Version here adds the he. Ye shall die in your sins. Chapter 8, verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus, they're hearing him say these words. And they're starting to wonder because of the words he's saying. Remember what the people that were charged to take him, the officers, said, never. We've never heard anybody talk like this before. And so they're kind of wondering, who is this guy? They said to him, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He said, I've been telling you all along who I am. I'm not somebody else. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. See, Jesus is not being elusive. He's speaking what the Father told him to speak, and that's what he is telling them. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. See, some, it got into their spirit. It penetrated to their heart, and they believed on him, because the Father called them. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Now there's a little clue here, okay? Because they said, We be Abraham's seed. These are the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that don't believe not. Okay? They answered and said to him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Huh. Now, if they were the Abraham's seed that went into Egypt, they would be Israelites. But perhaps there's a clue here that the ones speaking were not Israelites, but perhaps they were Edomites, proselytes, hirelings. I think we have a lot of them out there today in the visible church, as they had in the visible church then. They had a lot of proselytes, converts, but they were not true Israelites. Just a little anomaly that pops up here. Because how could they say, if they were Israelites, that they were never in bondage to any man? How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's pretty plain language now he's speaking to them. He's telling them that they are slaves of sin. Okay? And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. What he's saying is, I know who you are, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Ooh, you know, as they would say in the world, touche, because they believe. You know, they've done a little homework, and they know that Jesus was of questionable birth, right? We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Well, Jesus corrects them. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye heareth them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said to him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? So, you know, that was a bad name. You know, if they called you a Samaritan, they were, you know, this is what you call the ad hominem attack. You know, he says, which of you convicts me of sin? Well, they couldn't convict him of sin. They could find no evil deed that he done. So here comes the ad hominem attack. Well, we used to say we not well that you are a Samaritan and hast a devil. Okay, yeah, that's all you got. Anyway, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then the Jews are losing this argument. They don't even know it yet. Then said the Jews, You're not 50 years old. You're not even 50 years old yet. And hast thou seen Abraham? And they're chuckling and giggling among themselves. Who does this guy think he is? But listen to this answer. And Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Ooh, then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
We'll be right back. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, under Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water, so I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin. And wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a Travel Berkey today for only $209 or get a Sport Berkey for only $39 by calling 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Travel Berkey not yet available in Iowa.
Back. You're listening Across the Border. We're going through the Gospel of John. We left off at the end of chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. And Jesus makes this outrageous statement. So outrageous that the Jews they take up stones to cast at him. They're going to stone him dead right there. I mean, they already wanted to kill him. And he confronts them about that. But he says this thing about Abraham. One other time he answered it, that haven't you heard that God is the God of the living and he's not the God of the dead? So in an answer to them saying that Abraham was dead. But here in this case, he simply states to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow, now that's quite a statement. You know, that's a statement of, there's only one way to put it, of deity. Yeah, he is a man who transcends time. That's what he's saying. Before Abraham was, I am. Not only I was, but I am. And we know, because we read the Word of God, we read that he is the Lamb slain before the foundation, or from the foundation of the world. That the very foundation of our creation was built upon him being slain to redeem us. Think about that. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How about when he appeared in the Garden of Eden, the high priest for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them with the skins? Who else would it be? Yes, before Abraham was, I am. Before. That's right. Before Abraham was, I am, he says. And he was in the garden. He was the high priest. Who else could qualify? Who else would it be that made that first sacrifice for Adam and Eve and clothed them with the skins of the animals, the tunics made of those animal skins? Only one. And who was it that appeared when the debate came up about Sodom and Gomorrah? Who was that? Who was called the Lord? Who appeared with angels? Yes. I say it was the same man. The before Abraham was, I am. That's who it was. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate about the Trinity. I haven't found the Trinity doctrine in the Scripture. I can't put him in a doctrine. I can't put him in a box. I can't confine him to a tripartite being. I cannot do that to God. You know, I don't have any authority by the Scripture to do it. Maybe he's a seven-part being. I don't know. Maybe he's an infinite-part being. How could I break him down to three parts so that I can understand him? Says we were made in his image. I don't know. I can't get it down to a... So I'm not going to deny it, and I'm not going to affirm it. Show me what the Scripture says, and I'll affirm that, and I won't deny that. That's all I have. But before Abraham was, I am. This is another statement. John is full of the deity of Christ. He was in the beginning. Nothing was made without him. You know, it doesn't say that he was made. Of course, his body, a body thou hast prepared for me, but he preceded that body. Okay, we're going to move on to chapter 9. I know a lot of people, they would accuse me because I don't teach some of the doctrines of men. But I cannot go where the Scripture does not lead me, where God's Word doesn't take me. I just cannot go there. They read a verse here and a verse there and they extrapolate, you know. And it's like the Trinity doctrine. And I'll say, show me the Trinity in the Scripture, please. And they'll read a verse like, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they go, see, there's the Trinity. Well, it doesn't say, see, there's the Trinity. But I believe that we should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't bother me. If you want to make more of what's there, then, you know, that's your business. But I can't build a doctrine on conjecture. And anybody can believe whatever they want. I don't know, you know. I know that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah, I know that. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? Should we make a doctrine to explain it to people? Can we really express that? Or is that the inexplicable, something that we can't articulate, but we know in our spirit to be true? That's where I go with it. It's like I said, I believe. I believe what I believe. I believe the Word of God. I believe what it says. And I'm willing to, that's as far as I'm willing to go. Okay, John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Of course, they sinned like everyone else, but not to cause the blindness. There you go. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The night cometh. What is Jesus saying here? The night cometh. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Something to meditate upon. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, I guess the main lesson there is to do the work that you can do in his kingdom while you can. Because the time comes, you know, as it was in the physical labor. You know, they didn't have electricity in factories to work in at night. And you couldn't work outside in the field by candlelight, right? So you had to work while it was light. And when the night came, you couldn't work. I'm just drawing an illustration here. Which you can apply to whatever circumstance you can apply it to. As long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. Yes, we can always do his work as long as he is in us. He is the light of our life, and we can do the work of his kingdom, yes, even at night. But the night cometh when no man can work, he says. Yeah, work while you can. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to them, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way and washed and came seeing. The neighbors thereof, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He just looks like the same guy. Right? But he said, I am he. Therefore, said they unto him, how were thine eyes made open? How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. And opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad to hear that there was a division among the Pharisees. Some are going to believe, and some are not. Verse 17. And they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received a sight, until they called the parents of him that had received a sight. So they got this guy, they're putting him on trial now, right? I guess they hold him there and they call for his parents. And so now his parents show up and they ask them, saying, is this your son whom you say that was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them, saying, we know that he's our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Imagine this, like a trial going on in a courtroom. They're trying to find something wrong here. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They're going to put you out of our church if you believe the truth. If you don't believe like us, you're going to be tossed out the door. You don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you're out of here, buddy. You don't believe that we should all become one. You don't believe in caritas and veritate. You don't believe in ecumenical movement that we could, you don't believe we're going to toss you out. Right, whatever reasons. Anyway, if you believe in Jesus, we're going to toss you out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And it's true. What did they know anyway? They didn't know, only what they're told. He is of age, ask him. And then again, call they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And the man who was blind, he answered and said to them, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered and said, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. I think they cleared that up at the Feast of Tabernacles, didn't they? Yes. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth, not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. See, now the man who's made blind is preaching to them, right? And God doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. I can't, yes, there were people being healed, but I don't remember anyone being healed that was born blind. And he says, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. You know, I'm sure this guy knew what he was talking about because their history book, you know, it was that Old Testament. It was the Word of God that they had at that time. And he probably heard every word of it, but never heard of the blind, one being born blind, healed. He would have been interested in that, being born blind, you would think. If this man were not of God, he continues, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Here we go, just ad hominem attack now. They're just going to attack the guy who was born blind and now sees, you are altogether born in sins. You can't teach us anything. What they're saying is, we're better than you. Toss him out. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in that condition, as the Son of Man, he received worship. There were angels and there were apostles who men falling down before them, and it's recorded in the scripture, and worshiped them. And they said, No, don't do it. We are your fellow servants. If Jesus was not different than us, if he was not higher than the angels, would he not say, would he receive this worship? If he was not, wouldn't he say, don't do it? Wouldn't he lift this man up and say, I can't receive your worship. I'm not better than you. He never said that. There's something about this man we call Jesus, Yahshua in his native tongue. There's something different about him. He is not an ordinary man. Before Abraham was, I am, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, in the garden with Adam and Eve. Something about this man, that he could receive worship, where no other man or no other angel, no other man could receive worship. But he could. The man who was blind, he says, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see might see not, might see. And they which see might be made blind, that their blindness may become manifest. I am in this world. For judgment I am come into this world. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto them, Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. The Gospel of John and chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You know, there's a big movement in the world, the ecumenical movement, where they want to unite even the three great Abrahamic faiths of the world. And they say that Allah is God, and they say that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God as Allah. No, he's not. It's a different way, because they say God has no son. They don't accept him. It's a different father that teaches that. And then you have another sheepfold. Well, they offer you another way up, through penance, through works, through purgatory, through indulgences. It's another way. But he says, he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Yeah. And will be treated as such. He says, but they understood not what the things which he spake unto them. So, verse 7, then Jesus says unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And he's talking about the false messiahs that came before him. But the sheep did not hear them. The elect. Those that have the circumcision that is that of the heart. They don't hear the counterfeit. They don't go after the counterfeit. They'll listen, but they'll discern that the words aren't true. Why? Because they are familiar with the true. Therefore, they see the counterfeit for what it is. Because they're not familiar with the counterfeit. They're familiar with the true. Okay? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And of course, there are many counterfeits that came after him and continue to this day. Oh, there are a lot of counterfeits out there today. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling, see, now he's zeroing in on the false church, that is without the temple, in the outer court, for the visible, nominal church, or what appears to be the church of God. It says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep, okay, but I am the good shepherd, yes, gives his life, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Okay, who is Jesus speaking to? The other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Okay, they are them not of the fold. The fold is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I have not come but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's there within the fold of the house of the sheep of Israel to gather the lost sheep into his sheepfold from the house of Israel. The other sheep would be those of the other nations that are not of this fold, he says. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. This doesn't mean, followers of Allah, followers of Buddha, followers of that they can retain that false belief and be part of his fold. He said, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, not two folds, not three folds, not four folds. So if he has any people in those false religions, in those false folds, then he will call them out, and they will become part of his one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, he continues in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Yes, there's no other shepherd out there. Did Buddha lay down his life for his flock? Did Allah lay down his life for his flock? Did any of these others lay down their lives for their flock? Well, I haven't read about one yet. And we're out of time. We're going to have to mark this, where I am the good shepherd, and come back here next time in John chapter 10. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure that you subscribe there. May the Almighty bless you and yours until we meet again.
The light.